Welcome to the Red Caps Podcast, a podcast where we dip our caps into the blood of our listeners and we ramble on a bit old school games. In the first episode of 2023, we are going to catch up on some voicemails and feedback. We're going to talk about some new things that are happening and what the general plans are for 2023. Remember, no mortal can outrun a red cap. So as always, I hope you can sit back, listen, and enjoy. First up, let's get right to the voicemails because I am woefully behind on all of these. Who's up first?
Yo, Kevin, just listened to your latest episode about the best second level spells in TSR era D&D. That was super fun. You and I are in agreement about first level spells with Charm Person. I did find it interesting that your take that just because it doesn't specifically say you can cast Continual Light on an object, you take that to mean that it can't. That seems like it sort of goes against the OSI mantra. Like, just because it doesn't specifically say it, I don't know why you would think that would mean that you can't do it, because there are, you know, there are so few rules. So if you couldn't do anything that aren't listed in the rules, you couldn't really do a whole lot, right? That's the whole thing about rulings over rules and everything. So, yeah, I don't know about that. But, I think invisibility might get my vote, except that there are so many things that can thwart invisibility, like dogs, or, you know, if you try and cast it on your fighter in his heavy armor, that's not going to work very well. He's going to be clink-clanking around all over the place. So, I don't know. I've been watching The Dungeon Minister, and it's this awesome show. You might have heard other people talk about it. He runs Beckme for his three sons and his wife, and then tells the stories on YouTube. It's fantastic. His kids cast a ton of web. I've seen what web can do. And so, yeah, I don't know, man. To me, it's between invisibility and web. I see the awesome practicality of Continual Light because, like Daniel and Jason and others pointed out, you cast it on a bunch of torches and there goes, you having to worry about darkness in the dungeon. It's like you're playing Pathfinder or something. So yeah, that's a really good one, but I like web. I like web a lot. All right, man, that's my thought on second level spells. I'm going to call you back with my third level spell choice. Take it easy, dude. Great stuff. Peace out.
If a spell does not specifically say what its ability is, then it doesn't have that ability unless the player and the GM have negotiated it out. So universally, no, if it's not said on the spell, it's not there. Same as, you know, the spell doesn't give out free kittens and 10,000 XP every time you cast it. I have not heard of that YouTube channel though, Joe, so thank you very much. I'll definitely look it up. It sounds really cool. Web is a popular choice. I don't really have anything bad to say about web. I just prefer invisibility, but that's a perfectly valid and cool choice. I do look forward to hearing your level 3 spell, and that goes for everyone because I am, if nothing else, a creature of habit. So since I've done level 1, level 2, you can almost assuredly assume level 3 episode will be coming in the not so distant future. So Joe, please do send that along, and thank you for the awesome call in. Happy New Year, buddy. I miss talking to you. We have to connect again soon.
Hey, Daniel from ASK keep calling in. Clearly, we don't agree on Continual Light, but I just wanted to say, because I don't know if you were just ad-libbing or if you were actually reading from a source when you read the description, so I just want to read the description from the little brown book that I have right in front of me. Continual Light. This spell creates a light wherever the caster desires, period. It sheds a circle of illumination 24 inches in diameter. It does not say that it creates a globe of light in the air. It just says it creates light wherever the caster desires. So to me, that 100% means you can cast it on a torch. And I don't have enough time in the message to read light, but light is worded similarly. And everybody thinks that you can cast light on a torch. I've never heard somebody think that light has to stay in one spot. But if you believe that as well, let me know, because I'm curious about this conversation, because I think that what this comes down to is the intent of the author versus trying to read something a certain way. The intent of Continual Light was to create a light source that eliminated the use of torches. It's basically a high enough level spell that it was like, okay, you're using this spell now that you've reached third level. We're not going to worry about torches anymore. Like, to me, that was the point of the spell and is the point of the spell, to which they further clarified in AD&D. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Hey, Daniel. Hope your holidays were well. Circle or globe? I figured that light travels in all directions, so it would essentially be a globe, not just a flat plane of circle, but sure, doesn't matter. As you read it, you can cast it wherever you wish, but it doesn't say that you can move it after you've cast it. So sure, you can put it wherever you want, but that doesn't mean it's attached to it. It's just, it appears where you say you want it. There's nothing in the spell that says that it's attached to anything and that it can be moved. How many other spells do you know that you can conjure something and then without using any concentration or any other ability, be able to move it around at will? I think Continual Light evolved into the torch replacement due to how people played and what people assumed of it. But I think its original intention, at least the way I read it, was that it was meant to be a single point of light that you could cast, say, if you were, you know, camping out in a dungeon and didn't want to burn through torches and didn't have something to start like a campfire. So if you were bunkering down in a room and you wanted to have light and you didn't want to burn through all your torches, you cast Continual Light. It would stay in that room and keep the room lit up. It was also a, like I mentioned in the episode, a poor man's blind spell, because if you cast it on somebody's eyes, it could be used that way as an offensive spell. I think as a torch replacement, I really dislike it because it removes a key piece of resource management in the game. It removes attention. But as you said, maybe I'm reading it just purely as the words, and I don't know what the intentions were, to be fair. I'm just going off of my assumptions, but I think that my assumption is that it got turned into a torch replacement due to how players and GMs used it, not necessarily how it was originally intended to be, but I could be wrong. That's just where my thought process for it came from.
Hey, Kevin, Jason here. Just want to say I enjoyed episode 119. As far as your interview with the Lich, I think the questions were a little bit leading. But that said, it was interesting as far as the answers came. And honestly, I think, you know, AI is going to replace us. I think it is already good enough to replace me, you know. Mind you, that's a pretty low bar. But I understand the AI has found a place for now out-of-work podcasters. It's something called Code Green Soylent Green. So I'm curious to see what that is. On a more serious note, I could see using AI where we now use random tables. Of course, you have to build everything in, and the difference is instead of rolling on the random table, it just says it to you. So at that point, you might as well roll on the random table like a self-respecting grognard would. But I could see it replacing random tables. I don't know that it would do a whole lot otherwise for me. But who knows? We'll see what technology's like in a few years when I have that cool new job at the factory, that, you know, that code name Soylent Green factory. So take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Jason, that is pretty awesome. Everybody's always saying the factory work is leaving the country, but if they're bringing it back, right on. I wonder if there's going to be a meal plan or anything like that for the employees. I do agree that my interview with the Lich was a little bit leading on the questions. I did that not necessarily intentional to lead the questions. I was really interested to see how it would respond and kind of wanted to give it a push down a particular path, I guess. But the way that it came back and how human it sounded, even if it was a bit formal, was pretty impressive. I also agree that it may eventually come to replace things like random tables, but where I think it has a better application in terms of tabletop gaming is as an oracle / prompt generator for solo play. I think it's also just a really good way to do brainstorming. So if you're trying to figure out, there's a lot of people doing this Dungeon 23, if you were just trying to brainstorm out some ideas for like NPC plots or something, I think it would be a really good way of doing that. Somebody I was watching was talking about, you know, AI in particular, this ChatGPT, and they said that, you know, that they're not looking at AI to replace one really smart person. They're looking at AI to replace 100 dumb to average people. Basically saying that if they can get AI to complete some grunt work or even some stuff that they have to spend their mind on, that's like research level, or just give me a big list of things and I'll pick what's good from that list. It really frees up their time and makes it a win. So I kind of agree with that too. I think that AI is probably not at the level right now where it's going to replace somebody who's really good at whatever their craft is, whether that be art or creative, but it can definitely give the people that are really good at art and creative a way to come up with inspiration and ideas quickly. So I think that's where the true use of AI is going to be helpful for those of us here over the next short while, at least until they get that factory up and running, like you were saying. Speaking of solo play, I got an email from our friend over at Tales of the Manticore. I'm going to read it out, and it goes, "Hey, Kevin, I was totally inspired by your recent AI episode. Brilliant ideas and brilliant results. It inspired me to mess around with AI art and the chat GPT as well. I discovered after some mucking about that I could take a sketch that I made and have the AI reinterpret it. I had this goblin sketch and ran it through a few iterations. One of them, after a little bit of filter app magic, kind of looks like a red cap. Thought you might dig it. Thanks for the awesome show, John." Awesome, John. If anybody is listening right now on Spotify, the image that John is mentioning should be up on the screen. If not, I will link it in the description of the podcast. But that's a really cool part about some of the AI art applications that I didn't touch on. And that is that you can give it your own drawings, your own images, and ask the AI to make iterations and revisions, or even convert it to other styles altogether. And it can get some really cool results. So yeah, thank you so much for the email, John. And to the listeners, if you're not listening to the amazing production that is Tales of the Manticore, you should definitely be subscribing to that right now. Again, links will be down in the description. Another email came in from a new listener, and it's a long one, so I'm not going to get to everything that they asked in this episode, nor will I read out the entire email because it's quite long. But it's gave me a ton of really great ideas for future episodes. So I'm going to be pillaging from this email for the next like month. And so Stephen, as you're listening to this, know that I'm chunking up your email here. I'll answer one question now, and there will be more answers coming in the future. Yes, we'll circle back to those here shortly. But the email was, "Good morning. I just found your podcast and I'm really enjoying it. Your interviews are fantastic and extremely motivating. Can I ask a favor? Can you either have a show or a portion of one to explain some of the terms and terminologies in modern gaming? I just got back to gaming after a 40-year break and it's changed a lot. I noticed that gaming is now more inclusive than ever, no longer just nerds in the local game store. Unfortunately, there are too many options. I don't know where to start. Your interviews are very powerful and open doors to gaming genres I would have never considered. What are the best ways to start playing solo RPGs? What solo games are the easiest to start, and which needs other systems to make them work?" All right, Sean. So thanks much for this email. Let's focus briefly on solo gaming. And then it actually, thinking about it here now, I really do need to get folks like John or some of the other solo creators that I know on for an interview. So I just got to make a note here to myself to go and do that as I'm recording. But if you'd like to try games specifically aimed at solo, I'd suggest starting with some of the procedural dungeon crawler type games. I really enjoyed the Micro Chapbook series of games and Four Against Darkness. Both of them offer a pretty quick and easy way to take a group of adventurers into a dungeon and explore around. Now, many people would probably argue that this is more like a board game than a role-playing game. It's probably closer to, say, Hero Quest than D&D. But I think it really gets you into the mindset of tracking things as you're playing through in solo. So it's the procedures of going through the dungeon, tracking each of the characters, tracking how the rooms are getting generated. I think it would get you into that mindset well. And it's a fun little time. It probably, I agree, isn't really a whole lot of role-playing, although you can make it that way. But the procedural through the dungeon, I think is a really good intro to some of the solo type play. A game that would be an evolution of this is one that I found about a month or so ago called NoteQuest. There's a free version, which you can get on DriveThruRPG, and the free version is very much like the Micro Chapbook or Four Against Darkness, where it's a procedural dungeon crawl. It's got a few other features that I like a bit better than those other games. But then there's a paid version called NoteQuest Expanded World, and that adds in overland travel, hex generation. It makes things just a bunch more, a little bit more fleshed out, a little bit more like a full-fledged role-playing game, and I really enjoyed that quite a bit. There is a article on the newsletters website, so theredcaps.substack.com. You can go there. There's a little playthrough that I did, or a little write-up of some play that I did of NoQuest. I highly recommend it. I really enjoyed that. Once you get past the need for the dungeon crawls and you've done those, jumping to a game that is completely built around solo play, like Ironsworn, would be an interesting jump into. If you go and look on YouTube, there is a gentleman called Me, Myself, and Die. He's got a great, wonderful series on Ironsworn. And it's a pretty cool game that has meaningful decisions around making promises and oaths and trying to resolve those. And it's got a great oracle system. The book has tons of solo tools. Even if you don't play that game, the book is good to have just for all the tools that are in it. And after that, I mean, really, if you've got the right oracles and random tables, you can play virtually any game solo. I think it just really depends on what part of the game you want to get out of it. If you're more combat oriented, then you'd pick games that are a little bit more that way. If you're more, role playing or character interaction heavy, then you're going to have to adjust which game aids that you have. I think it's something that you can definitely get into with almost any game, but I would probably start with the procedural dungeon crawls and work your way up from there. I'll provide links to all the things that are that I've mentioned here in the show notes. And like I said, I'll try to get some folks on that are a little bit more tied to solo gaming than I am to discuss this a little bit more. But hopefully that answers that question. And like I said, I'll get to the other ones in future shows. Thank you very so much for the email. It was fantastic. All right, a couple other quick things to hit on before we wrap up this episode today. During the month of January, every episode that was an interview episode of the Red Caps podcast is going to show up on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@theredcaps. So if you had missed any of the previous interviews, I think there's about 30 of them, maybe a little bit less. They should all show up there over the course of January, a couple released every other day or something like that, just to keep it from flooding anybody who subscribes. As well, I'm going to start making some other content over there. I've done a YouTube short on creating a sentient sword. That was really cool. A lot harder to create a YouTube short than I thought it would be. But I'm going to try to make some more of those and some other video-based content. My office right now is in a state of chaos because for Christmas, I got this massive IKEA 5x5 cubby shelf thing. So I've got that built now. I got to get it secured to the wall, and then I'm going to repopulate it and get everything set up so that whenever I record in here, you can see everything behind me. And we'll do some actual recording where you can see my face. I apologize in advance. And we'll get things going that way. What else is new? The newsletter I mentioned earlier over at Substack, theredcaps.substack.net, got some cool stuff on it. You might want to go subscribe to that. And like a lot of the population, I created a Mastodon/Fediverse account during the whole Twitter thing. I'm using both Twitter and it equally. But if you head over to, if you're already on Mastodon and you want to say hi over there. I'll probably post pictures of the giant shelf and the shelfie, when that's all completed on there as well. So, if you're on social media, the Red Caps, is pretty easy to find on all of them, but yeah, drop me a note, say hello. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up this episode of the Red Caps podcast. I hope you enjoyed, you learned something, and that you were eager to come back for more. www.theredcaps.net has all the links, all the ways to contact me, and I would love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Happy New Year. Remember, never let your caps dry out, and we'll talk again soon. Take care.